get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I think mentally, I watch a lot of other top guys in the league. I watch guys like that are similar to me, like Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and stuff like that, and see what they're doing to have success. And then I watch guys that play the game differently than I do, guys like Tom Brady, guys like Kirk Cousins, guys that play from within the pocket and they have success that way. And I try to find the way to make it my game. Take away little things that they do in their game to make it my game.
Welcome in to Purple Daily. I think Phil was going to be on the show. He saw that clip last night and collapsed.
I collapsed.
Like, I think Phil saw Patrick Mahomes praising Kirk Cousins, and that was it. He's like, peace out, man. I can't do Purple Daily tomorrow. I'm out of here.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what? So I got notes. I got like three tweets back from Kirk stands who were like, see, Pat Mahomes is invoking Kirk's name. It's like, no, what? That's smart. Like, Patrick Mahomes, the problem is his skill set. Like, so he can watch Brady and Kirk, right?
Yeah.
Operate in the pocket and take what they do and be like, I'm going to incorporate that into my game, Patrick Mahomes. And that works. The problem, Kirk stands, is that Kirk can't then be like, that's a great idea. I'm going to watch Patrick Mahomes film and become an incredible athletic quarterback too. So it's like, I don't know what your point is. Yeah. Kirk Cousins does some things well. Definitely. Now, was I a bit surprised that Pat Mahomes referenced him along with Tom Brady? Yes.
Yes.
Those two names, I don't think, go side by side. That being said, Dex, good for him. Good for Patrick. he's trying to learn, but I just love this whole thing. Well, you see Kirk, you don't get Kirk. Well, actually,
classic,
I do get what Kirk does well.
It's absolutely all classic.
Right. Training camp notes. But before we get to training camp notes, Declan Goff, the most exciting news, exciting news yesterday in Purple Daily Land had nothing to do with COVID vaccines. It had nothing to do with training camp notes. It had to do, and I've got a visual here for you. So those of you who are watching on YouTube, the new presenting sponsor, far more pretty than my ugly mug, is Surly. The Furious IPA, outstanding. But Declan, you know what? I'm an overachiever. And so when it comes to showing up with my homework, I don't just do one assignment because the Furious is just one IPA. Because last night we mixed in, if you can see it, we mixed in the Havoc Machine.
A little West Coast IPA. Okay. All right.
Yes. From the good folks at
Surly Brewing.
Little Surly Brewing for you. So I am an overachiever, and we're thrilled to have Surly aboard. It's going to be a great partnership. There's going to be a lot coming as far as me doing, instead of morning or evening Judds, Surly Judds, things like that. So yes, welcome aboard to Surly. It's going to be a great relationship, and we are glad to have them as the presenting sponsor of Purple Daily. All right, let's get to the training camp notes, Declan Goff, because I, again, spent a couple hours at TCO Performance Center on Monday watching Jake Browning and Case Cookum?
Cookus.
Throw passes.
Cookus.
I already forgot his last name. Case Cookus. Well, actually, Case, mainly because it was day one on the job, handed off. Jake Browning threw passes. Let's start there. So Jake Browning, coming out of mini camp and going into training camp, in my opinion, Declan, was the backup quarterback to Cousins and Mond, because I think his mechanics need some adjusting and he's young, was QB3. Jake Browning, though, in my opinion, has solidified QB2. Unless the Vikings decide to go out and get a quarterback because they're so afraid about Kirk's vaccination status, Jake Browning has looked damn good. And I mean, it's impressive because he's been on the practice squad for 2 years, which, by the way, means you don't really get work. Like, it's not like he's practicing full time or much. Training camp's a different story because you ordinarily have four quarterbacks to throw a ton of passes. But as far as once the season starts, it's not like, hey, Jake, come get your snaps now. So Dex, I have been very impressed. I think that Jake Browning, if he hadn't already, has probably opened eyes.
Yep.
I am not trying to tell you right now that he could step into a regular season game and be successful. I am trying to tell you that in the gradual ascension of a player like Browning, who is undrafted and has been on the practice squad for 2 years. He has sped the ascension up exponentially in recent days by being available and by looking very solid.
Yeah, I mean, good for him, man. I think it's pretty dang cool. He had a decent career at Washington. I believe it was a sophomore season where he went absolutely off for them. Was an undrafted guy, and I believe the Vikings paid a pretty penny to get him. What was that now? 2 or 3 years ago to be on their practice squad for the last few years, and good for him. You know, I always wonder what practice squad quarterbacks really bring to the table. Are they actually, do they mean something? Are they basically just this like emergency option? Is it the brain in the quarterback room just to help dissect things with the starters and with the quarterback's coach and just be a sounding board for one of those guys? And Jake Browning, who was basically thrown into the fire on Saturday, having to throw 90 passes and looking damn good, nearly taking your head off with a beautiful dime down to KJ Osborne on the sidelines.
Couple of them, yeah.
Did he almost take your head off a couple times, or you had a couple bombs down the sidelines?
Well, no, both. Yeah. Both. Because there was the one that we put up on the Score North Twitter account to KJ Osborne, and there was one to Thielen, too. That was a nice pass,
right?
A dime. So no, he has looked. He throws a nice ball. He's got a decent arm. But I think that if he was starting to win people over or had a bit, I think that this now has gone a long way. And worst case, Dex, if the Vikings go out and sign a veteran quarterback to back up Cousins, and QB3 will be Mond, no question about it. Jake Browning has established enough now that he will get a job.
Yeah.
I think he'll stick here. But my point is, he will get a job. And the availability of this guy to go out and not complain, as far as I can tell, and throw pass after pass after pass, says something. So, yeah, nice work for him.
Well, and also, you know, and you were covered the team for a long time for the Star Tribune, the lead beat writer with Chip Scoggins. I'm guessing you've seen him at the podium a few times, Jake Browning. What is his demeanor like? Is he actually someone that you can read between the lines? Does he say a lot of things? Does he basically talk in circles like a lot of other athletes? What have you noticed from his demeanor?
I haven't seen enough, man. When you're in the role that he has been the past 2 years. Now, he went to the podium yesterday and talked about his experiences from Saturday. That might be the first time he's been at a podium.
Right.
Now, he has talked coming off the field and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to bet that, like most young QBs, he's diplomatic. So you're not going to get a true essence of how he necessarily feels about things. But he's going to be. There's no way that his teammates with the Vikings haven't looked at what's transpired the past 3 days and what he did Saturday and Monday. I'm sure that they're impressed.
Yeah.
Cause like, that is a tough thing. Again, you ordinarily have 4 quarterbacks in training camp, 4. And they had 2 on Monday, and 1, good old Case Cookus, was there to essentially try and learn what he was supposed to do. And they signed another one as well. But I mean, Jake Browning, if there is such a thing, is QB1, QB1A, QB1B, and QB1C right now.
I know.
So, all right. Do you want an interesting nugget on how the Vikings on a trick play that the Vikings might use, or do you want the mandatory offensive line update?
Mandatory first? Offensive line update first.
All right.
Oh boy. Here we go.
Hold on a second.
Here we go.
I gotta take a deep breath here. Although Phil is livid, I feel like you're ticked off, but Phil is on DEFCON 2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the nuclear war is imminent. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Mandatory offensive line update from Monday, August, I believe it was 2nd. Eagan, Minnesota is the dateline. Rashad Hill is still at left tackle, but something must have happened on Saturday because Rashad Hill was at left tackle in the walkthrough portion. This gets worse.
Oh, God.
Because Rashad Hill did not take part in actual drills yesterday, Ole Udo, who has been battling our guy, Dakota Dozier, for the right guard spot, but who in truthfully is a tackle, not a guard.
Right.
Ole Udo was moved to left tackle, which meant Dakota Dozier solidified more, and he's doing this with each day, his right guard spot. Now you're going to say, but Judd, what about third round pick Wyatt Davis? Because we all thought he might be the starting right guard. Well, he did something to his ankle before Saturday. I thought that he might have been being held out because of COVID precautions, but he was not on the list of guys who were.
Okay.
So he has a ankle issue. So Wyatt Davis also did not participate in practice on Saturday or Monday. So long story short, the reps, the first team reps yesterday, Declan Goff, Oli Udo moving to left tackle to replace Rashad Hill, Dakota Dozier playing more and more as your starting right guard, and still no Christian Darrisaw. Zim told us on Saturday night that he expects Darrisaw to be back pretty soon here, but said, again, off the whole tweak thing last year with Danielle Hunter, don't quote me on this, but Christian Darrisaw expected back soon. But I'm going to tell you right now, Christian Darrisaw, after having core surgery after the college season, has yet to take part in anything. He's not starting the season. Like, I think there's almost no way. So I think Rashad Hill starts at left tackle. But I have seen nothing to lead me to believe that Dakota Dozier won't start at right guard. And I know Phil is going to melt down completely and you'll be ticked off, but that's just the truth. Don't shoot the messenger.
It's hard not to.
You can mock the messenger, but don't shoot the messenger. I'm only going out there.
I mean, unless I saw the note too that Zim said, you know, they're kind of easing in Wyatt Davis and this and that. I hope that's the case. If they seriously have malpractice against this offensive line, I mean, that is concerning. We can talk about the COVID protocols, or we can talk about this being maybe a run first offense not being pass heavy enough. There's things we can still get nitpicky with on this team. If that offensive line has the audacity to run out Dakota Dozier again, and maybe
not the offensive line's fault,
maybe Oli Udo is better than we think. Maybe it's like a 5% chance that I think he is something, but he's probably not. He's probably not there trusting someone who hasn't played left tackle for them. Barely any left tackle for them in important games. So, I mean, I hope to God this Christian Darrisaw injury is progressing steadily, and it doesn't sound like it's obviously going faster. They should not be rushing him necessarily. Take the time. It's a tackle. They need this line to be fortified. But, man, Judd, that this has every right to be insanely concerned. If Dakota Dozier and Oli Udo are out there week one and for the first month of the season, I mean, pack a lunch. Seriously, pack a lunch.
Well, I think Hill's banged up. I think Rashad Hill, who started quite a bit at both tackle spots, and he is a good backup swing tackle, but he is not a starter, and he is certainly not a starter at left tackle. I think he's going to start the season there, much less than ideal, but that's going to depend on Darrisaw's timetable. I'm just telling you, Christian Darrisaw hasn't done anything as a Viking. Nothing. Zero. Zed. So I don't see Zim, I don't think, is going to take a rookie left tackle and toss him in there. Oli Udo, I think, is learning to play guard. But Dakota Dozier, don't laugh at me, has played guard before, so I think they feel more comfortable. Again, don't shoot the messenger. It's not my fault. That's just what I'm seeing. I also saw, and I missed this in person, I also saw somebody sent a clip of Drew Samia. I think he was playing guard with the second team Dex yesterday. Just get absolutely trucked. Fell down. It's not workable there. Drew Samia is not. I don't know what we had high hopes that he might step in and play a good guard last year. I think I told you guys a couple days ago he played four games there and was the worst ranked offensive lineman in football for that four game period. But yeah, you have to have concern here. You just have to. I'm sorry.
He was my Mr. Mankato pick last year. So yeah, get nasty. Well, Drew Samia looked like he was a nice player at Oklahoma. Was going to be a nice maybe guard. And I just hope this doesn't turn into Wyatt Davis 2.0. Or hope Wyatt Davis doesn't turn into Drew Samia 2.0. I think that's obviously the fear there. I hope he's ready, and I hope he's just battling a little nagging injury. But
he's not ready.
This offensive line is going to be something we're going to be watching all year.
I will, in fact, write this down. Wyatt Davis will not start week one, and that's not a bold prediction. He has not taken a first-team snap when healthy yet.
Good God.
Wyatt Davis will not be starting. I think Darrisaw won't be, okay? but I'm not going to be absolutely floored if he does. Wyatt Davis, before he twisted or hurt the ankle, probably Friday, had not taken a first-team snap. He will not start. He will. Zero chance. Zero chance. I'm telling you, man, this is, unless they're going to make a trade or pick someone off the waiver wire right before the season, I think it's Dakota Dozier. All right, let's get to the good news.
Okay.
Trick play.
Trick play. I love me a trick play.
Well, I don't know. You're going to love this one. I think you're going to love the name. I don't think you're going to love the package that the play is. Trick play unveiled in front of the thousands of fans who showed up and paid, I think, $10 a piece or $5 for kids at TCO Performance Center's stadium on Saturday night. I think this is the only snap. It's the only one I saw that Jake Browning did not take in team drills. Okay, I'm going to give you the good news first. Dalvin Cook in a trick play.
Okay.
The bet where I don't think you're going to like this is it was the Wildcat. And the Wildcats sort of, it's run its course. Yeah. I just don't think it surprises teams. The great thing about it originally when the Dolphins unveiled it against the Patriots, was that like 5 or 6 years back now, Dex? The great thing about the Wildcat was it was unexpected. And like the Patriots weren't prepared and it worked. Everyone is now prepared. But I do like so here's what I like about it. I like the fact that the Vikings offensively, at least, are considering creativity, because they really don't embrace creativity on offense, right? Run the football, pound the rock, get, you know, second 13, what should we do? Hand it to Dalvin. Okay, that's not a great idea. So I don't like the Wildcat, but I like the fact that we might be seeing some different ideas that show that perhaps Clint Kubiak is going to open things up a little bit more than Pops did.
Yeah, I like that idea. When Jerick McKinnon was here, I thought he was an awesome guy for the Wildcat and he was a former quarterback. I mean, there was
the Dallas game.
Yes.
They ran it.
Yes.
And he couldn't throw.
Yes.
What was that all about?
Well, then there was the other one too with Diggs, and Diggs remember throwing that one to Kirk Cousins and it wasn't even close. I love me a good trick. Wide receiver pass is my go-to trick play. I love me a wide receiver pass.
I'm with you, actually.
Sidney Rice threw an absolute deep ball. Yeah, he can absolutely haul it. I love me a good wide receiver pass. Love me a good fake punt. That's what I want to see. Let me know. Give me some special teams fake punt. I want you to be observations. I want to see a fake. I love me a good executed fake punt.
Yeah, but don't tempt fake. You got to execute it.
Oh, yeah, you got to execute it.
No, but I'm saying it can be a disaster if it's not executed. I feel like that one... I love it if you think you can do it and do it well, but you got to have the right people.
Yep.
Because if you screw that up, it's what they like to call in the business, Dex, quick change. Sudden change. Sudden change is not good. The wide receiver pass, I'm with you. I wonder who can throw the ball. Do you think Jefferson or Thielen has a better arm?
I don't think Thielen does. I bet it would be Jefferson.
I mean, Jefferson might.
Did I maybe read that D.D. Westbrook was maybe doing some trick play? I think there might have been something about D.D. maybe doing a trick play or two.
That'd be in special teams, though, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he has done almost zero, I think, as far as actual drills with the receivers, besides like teamwork, or besides like individual work is what they call
it. The trick play is more of just a Wildcat formation with Dalvin. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but I like the idea of being mm-hmm. more creative with Cook. I don't think the Wildcat works.
Okay. Yeah, the Tony Soprano, Tony Soprano, oh my God, that's amazing. Tony Sperano, Sperano.
That's an easy mistake.
From the Miami Dolphins, you know, executed that with Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown there at the Miami Dolphins, 11, 12 years ago. I think it's also ran its course.
Was that long ago?
Yeah, it was like 09, 08, yeah.
I said like 6 years ago. Oh, my God.
No. It was a bigger thing like 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I think thanks. It only really works if you have a very like Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton in his heyday.
Yeah.
You have to have the mobile quarterback for it to really, I think, for it to be executed successfully. If you're just like throwing in Dalvin Cook running Wildcat or getting cute with reverses with Stephon Diggs or someone throwing a pass down the field, it has to be run correctly. So I think having a mobile quarterback first is the most important thing to do there.
All right. Note number four, and I've talked about this before, but we see it every day. And I think it's worth talking about extensively. And I actually sent you a clip that you posted at the Score North Twitter account of a very nice pass and catch from Browning to Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah, he looks great.
Man, does he look good. Every day, Declan, he looks great. He is going to, I am going to be shocked if he does not have a breakout big time year. He makes every catch. He is in great shape. He's bigger. He's not huge, but he's bigger. He will be wide receiver three dressed up as a tight end. Like, for all we're talking about, you know, what's Osborne going to potentially do, and he's been good in camp, and he's going to make this team for sure, is, you know, once Westbrook can return from his ACL, what's he going to potentially do? I'm telling you right now, Jefferson, Thielen, Irv Smith, those guys are going to catch a ton of passes. And Irv Smith looks great. And before Kirk went out because of the protocols for 5 days, and he should be back on Thursday, Kirk and Irv Smith had a chemistry that looked to me far superior to anything that Kirk and Kyle had.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you right now, if you play fantasy league football, get Irv Smith. Irv Smith is going, I think he's going to catch touchdowns. He's going to get a ton of yards. He's going to finally be. So I feel like the Vikings have been on the precipice at times of embracing the tight end trend, right? Like, they've had tight ends that certainly contribute and catch passes. But you look at a guy like a Kelsey in Kansas City, right? Yeah. And the group, and Gronk, and that group, who are basically at times pseudo wideouts. Irv Smith is going to get much closer. I'm not saying he's in that group, but he's going to get much closer than he's been, and the Vikings have been, to having that type of guy. Irv Smith Jr. impresses me every single day.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him to be unleashed this year. You know, last year we thought that was going to happen. Kyle Rudolph was still on the team. Irv Smith battled some injuries. He turned it on a little bit towards the end of the year. He still finished with 5 touchdowns and had over 10 yards per reception. I believe Sam Munson from PFF pulled out a thing that, like, when Kirk was targeting Irv Smith, his passer rating was like well over the triple digits, above the 110. Like, anytime he was targeting Irv Smith, good things were happening. And I know there's still gonna be a lot of two tight end sets. Tyler Gronklin, as Phil likes to call him, is probably gonna get a lot of good snaps. But I do think Irv Smith in the red zone, and Irv Smith athletic ability. He's a freak in nature. Yes, this finally, I think, is the year of Irv Smith. And you're not a fantasy football guy either.
No, but I'm telling you, I don't do fantasy football. We both retired.
Yes, we were smart
from that venture. But I'm telling you right now, draft him.
Yeah,
draft him. He is going to be, health provided, he is going to have a huge year. And I think that, so Conklin will catch passes, but I don't, when Kyle was out at the end of last year, it felt like Conklin caught a lot of passes and Irv didn't catch necessarily as many passes as we expected, Declan.
Yeah.
I think that's done now. I think Conklin still gets some balls, but the tight end position, and I'm telling you, it's wide receiver three, is Irv Smith.
The Federated Challenge, supporting Big Brothers Big Sisters, hosted by my great friends at Federated Insurance. This amazing event brings together a group of community-focused and generous businesses and individuals to raise money to support Big Brothers Big Sisters, a 116-year-old one-to-one mentoring organization. Since 2005, the Federated Challenge has raised over $41 million and has helped ignite the potential of our nation's youth.
Special thanks to SID Investment Associates, Stony Brook Capital, and Taft for their support.
All right. So that's the good news for the most part.
Okay.
I gave you 3 positives, right?
Yeah.
The offensive line's not, but I gave you 3. The bad news, of course, is that Kirk Cousins, Nate Stanley, a 4th-string QB, Kellen Mond, who was diagnosed with COVID on Saturday, and we initially thought had been vaxxed, and now have been told he's not vaxxed, all are out of practice until at least Thursday in Mond's case, because he's got it. It might be longer. And that caused, and the lack of vaccinations on the team, which, by the way, Chad Graff of The Athletic today has the fact that he is reporting the Vikings entered training camp with one of the lowest vaccination rates in the league. Had Mike Zimmer at the podium yesterday, when asked about this, exasperated. Let's play that and then react to what's going on out in Eagan.
Well, I've talked to the team about it, you know, about some of the things going on. Our guys have been pretty good about it, really. You know, I'm probably the most vocal one of all of them, but, you know, I just feel like, you know, we're going to have guys miss games. You know, it's just there's so many cases that are going on right now that, you know, we're going to have some guys miss games, and we got to be prepared for it.
Oof.
All right, Declan, let's spin the conversation from this end, because it's very clear that at this point, the guys who aren't vaxxed for the most part aren't going to do it. Okay. So I'm sure, in fact, Mike talked about the fact that there are still occasionally guys coming in, and Kirk's going to be back on Thursday, and it sounds like he's going to talk on Thursday or Friday. And I don't think that he has been diagnosed with COVID. He was exposed to it, and because he's not vaxxed, he has to sit for 5 days. It'll be interesting to hear him, if he will talk about this, if he does plan on potentially being vaxxed now, because he is the Vikings' one and only quarterback who's taken reps in games. That being said, though, Mike just told us there will be guys who miss games, and he's not talking about necessarily guys who get COVID, Dex. He's talking about guys who are exposed to it. And if somebody is diagnosed on a Saturday or Sunday, anyone who's not vaccinated and is exposed to that guy has to sit out the game. He cannot play.
I know.
What's your opinion about what the thought process should be from a personnel roster construction standpoint? I'm not saying that you can get starters or guys that are as good as the starters who might have to sit, because we know Cousins is not vaxxed. Thielen, we believe, is not. Harrison Smith is not. So there's some good players who aren't vaxxed. But do you think the Vikings need to change their strategy at all with the players that they keep on the roster as backups, when you already, Declan, in early August, and you don't play a game till September, are basically accepting the fact that some very important players are going to miss games?
Yeah, it's tough. I would have liked to see the Vikings maybe draft players that, you know, were, if they knew some of these guys were going to be against or not pro vaccine, I wish they would have maybe drafted players that could have helped replace those potential guys. It would have been nicer too, obviously, if the offseason worked out a little earlier, where vaccines were rolling out a little faster and players were able to get the vaccines quicker, and just society in general was able to get the vaccines quicker, that maybe that you could be able to supplement the roster with players who were okay with that and open to doing that. I think the issue is when we're talking about bringing in players now, or bringing in players this basically late into the training camp and into the portion, is the NFL is, and we've talked about it before, the football is the one sport where, unless you're bringing in like a veteran who really knows what he's doing, bringing in a rookie or bringing in someone undrafted or bringing someone with limited experience and expecting them to learn a playbook and learn the calls and learn all the inner workings of how that works, I do think we kind of forget about that sometimes, that it's not just a plug and play sport. You know, yeah. Look, hitting a baseball is difficult. I'm not diminishing the athletic ability, how strong it is to hit a baseball. I can, though, find a guy, if I'm MLB team, on a waiver claim, put him into my lineup and have him bat eighth, and he's just fine. He's just fine. He might go 0-for-4, but he's going to stand up there and he's going to take at bat. He's going to be fine. It is next to impossible. And we saw what happened to the Denver Broncos last year when they had their whole quarterback room lost for a game. That it, even when you bring in a wide receiver who used to play college football as a quarterback, had zero completed passes, because it proves the fact that you can't just step in and make this work. It's a very tricky situation. And with Mike Zimmer also sounding off on this, and look, I would be willing to bet that if you pumped him with truth serum, that Mike Zimmer probably doesn't agree with a lot of things that you and I maybe agree on in the world, but he recognizes this as a very delicate and very interesting situation, and his job is tied to this. So if players are not opting to do and get the vaccine, his now livelihood is at stake as well, health-wise and also professionally. So I can understand his frustrations.
And I can guarantee you, nothing to him personally, and like the man coached with his eyesight going. So I can tell you that Mike is, this is about one thing, Declan. It's about your quarterback, and it's about winning football games. And if Harrison Smith has to sit because he's been exposed to COVID, that's a huge deal. Now on Cousins, I was talking to our old friend Collar last week about this. And I asked him, I said, what would you do? And what he said was this, and it's not a bad idea. He said, I would leave Kirk at home except for practice. So I would have him, I would not have him come in to the quarterback room. I would not have him participate in meetings. I would literally have him virtually appear, and that's it. Mm. And then for practice, show up and practice. I sort of like it. Because I would rather, look, this is not ideal. Like, it just sucks. Okay. But I would rather have him not be part of the team Monday through Friday as, like, is Kirk around, and zoom in and keep him with his family. And as much as you possibly can, don't expose him to a room full of guys who are going to go out, who are going to do things. So I actually sort of like that one.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. I think it's kind of an interesting one. Sometimes guys should just not be around right now. And I guess if Kirk Cousins knows this playbook and knows the system pretty damn well, that I guess if he wants to take some time off to do that, I can see it. But I just the reps,
it's not
and,
time off.
And
no. But he comes for practice. So like he comes and practices, but he does not go in the locker room.
Oh.
After practice,
yeah.
Send him home. Just have him live in a bubble of sorts.
Oh, yeah.
And so he can zoom in for the QB offense meetings, all of that. But he's not exposed to a huge locker room of guys who are potentially going to be carrying this, even if they are vaxxed. That's the problem.
Well, if he wants to zoom in somewhere, I got something where he can go. I got plenty of places where Kirk Cousins can go zoom in and zoom out. And
sure.
It's Brainerd International Raceway. Enjoy 4 days of heart-pounding, Kirk, lightning-fast drag racing. Every ticket comes with a pit pass. So, Kirk, you can meet with these racers, watch them at 330 miles per hour from a distance.
Yeah, a huge distance, you know, with a big mask
on. You can definitely do that as well. So go up to Brainerd International Raceway. Enjoy 4 days of that heart-pounding, lightning-fast drag racing. Race will be pushing themselves and their cars to the limits at the NHRA Lucas Oil Nationals at Brainerd International Raceway in Brainerd, Minnesota.
Hey, kids, how's the water?
It's full of weeds.
I can't move my legs.
Your arms are free, right?
Yeah.
Wave them around. It's fun.
You kidding me?
This can't be happening.
This is Jamie from the Aquaside Company. Clear your water completely. Destroy weeds, algae, and the muck that's preventing you from enjoying your waterfront property. We know your time in the water is precious. We're the Aquaside Company. Call 800-328-9350 or visit aquaside.com. State permit may be required.
Beautiful. That sounds like great fun, and those speeds would scare me, but I'm sure that there are some people who are much more mentally strong than I am.
Yes.
who are willing to take the chance of going that fast. So that's cool. All right. They're going to have to talk about some ways to approach this, because it's really frightening for a football team when in early August, when you know, by the way, that guys are going to get hurt too, that you're essentially accepting the fact that key guys are going to miss games because of this as well. We are done. Mackie, back tomorrow. Write that down, both the Mackie and Judd old school version and the Purple Daily. And as I said, Dex, I think we all might basically across the board have 6 Vikings predictions of sorts, because there's that much going on. Appreciate it. Oh, and once again, hold on. Wait for it. Starting next week, presenting sponsor of Purple Daily.
Judd has never been happier, I think, at this company his entire life.
In fact, I'm going to just wear this on my forehead everywhere I go, because it's an improvement. Iconic, hoppy, aggressive,
yep.
Furious IPA, just one of the great beers.
Yeah, we'll have more details next week on also fun segments inside this on Purple Daily 7 days a week. Yeah, this is going to be a fun partnership.
I just need the cans of beer, okay?
Yes, and Judd just needs the beer. That's okay. From the executive production standpoint, there'll be a little bit more.
No, you got a lot of work to do.
And I'm fine with that, because I want that. So I'm all for it.
All right.
All right,
Mackie, back tomorrow. We will see you later.